This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
All right, Mike, we're going to get through this the best we can. Quiet day for the Broncos, but maybe a loud message sent to the locker room that, hey, we're fine the way we are, and that's good. Darn it. We'll see. Rough Monday night of basketball, man. We got some losses to talk about. One season ends outside of the NIT possibility, and another season is certainly in question. A lot to unfold, Mike. Mike, are you ready? Are you ready, Mike?
Yes.
The whole show starts
now!
It's a rough go, Mike. Monday night. That's the problem with Monday night games is, you know, it sets the tone for the week, doesn't it? I guess that's the problem with Monday night football sometimes when it doesn't go the right way. But we got a pair of losses to talk about. Although, side note, and it shouldn't be a side note, but guaranteed tonight in the Mountain West women's bracket, just FYI, the winner will be a Colorado team. We are for sure going to have a Colorado team dancing in the March Madness women's bracket as Colorado State goes up against Air Force. We were going to have Mike Brohard join us in the 12 o'clock hour today, but scheduling conflict, he's there in Vegas. So unfortunately, we won't get him on. They had a key player go down last night. But they survived. They survived the game, and they should be heavy favorites against Air Force, maybe, either way. So that's exciting, but not so much for the UNC Bears or the Denver Nuggets. Michael, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly from the night that was. The good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good, I'll say this. They ended up both being exciting games. UNC kept battling back, just like they did all season long. Unfortunately, just couldn't get over that hump. They were down 17 at the half, cut it to 2. It felt a lot like the Big Sky Championship game a year ago. Against who? Yeah, Montana. So they were good games, at least. One night of entertainment, but it's over. The bad was the Denver Nuggets loss. Close game. Great game. 129-126. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is that good. For all the crap we want to give him about foul baiting, and he certainly does that, but if you take away the foul baiting, he's still one of, if not the best scorer. Yeah, he's the best scorer in the league. He hit two critical, especially critical, three-pointers late in the game. Nuggets had a moment. They had Joker gets fouled, Jamal gets fouled as Joker shooting a three, so there's a 4-point play to tie the game, and Shai goes down with 8 seconds left and just buries a brutal, heartbreaking dagger. Denver drops to 39-26 and another game to the Thunder. The ugly one and done for the University of Northern Colorado. It's a hell of a game. And I'll tell you, man, Quinn Danker played his ass off in that. He had 29 points. Missed two critical free throws late. He was 10 of 12. You can't, it's hard to put blame on that guy. Without him, they're not, I mean, he was in a different level, on a different level, but so was Money Williams, the star for Montana. He had 40 points, Mike. He got to the free throw line 19 times. He was 18 of 19. And he chose to play like a flat-out superstar last night. And that ended the Bears' hopes of going dancing for the first legitimate time in their history. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's unpack a few things. Michael, still no news on the Broncos. Day two of free agency, unless I'm missing anything. We are going to have Benjamin Albright of Broncos Country Tonight join us in the 1 o'clock hour. I don't know if my tweet yesterday at the end of the show, I said, how can you stand there and tell me that the Broncos got better today? Mike, you can't tell me that. I know that you're the orange, you know, the orange flavored Kool-Aid and orange and blue colored glasses, but be logical here. The Broncos didn't add any new pieces. They retained most of their old pieces, lost John Franklin Myers, released Dre Greenlaw. And you're going to tell me they got better yesterday? They may not have gotten necessarily worse, but John Franklin Myers isn't exactly a, you know, pushover at all. I don't know how you can stand there and look me in the eye. Mike, look me in the eye. Look me in the eye. Both of them. Did the Broncos get better yesterday?
Well, what you don't realize is the Broncos are playing 5D chess.
You keep saying that. What even is that? What is 5D chess? Is it where they have like three boards, four boards or whatever?
Well, they transcend time and space.
Oh, I'm so bored by listening
space
to this.
I think space is the fourth, and then time is the fifth. So the Broncos are playing with time and space.
Can you just say they're playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers? Come on, we don't need to get weird.
Oh, I like mine better, because mine has to do with science and science fiction.
Oh. Susan and Cheryl do not like that. They're not a fan of that, Mike. They're not taking you out for drinks later today.
Yeah, they've not been a fan of me for a while.
I don't hear them ever. They don't do anything anymore. The life is gone from Susan and Cheryl back there, and it's unfortunate.
They miss some of your old producers. They don't like dad jokes.
Well, they definitely liked Vay, but I think they liked Vay a little too much, and that got weird. I'm not too worried about the situation going on right now, so we're good there. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. The Nuggets lose last night to the Thunder. That one sucked. And Lou Dort smacked Joker in the face again. And you had Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Yeah, he's the MVP. He's the MVP. It's not Joker. It's Shea. Who's the better player between the two?
You talking of all time? Or are you talking right now?
No, right now. Not of all time. Joker's done it. And Joker, he does it with everyone. You know what? The same thing I'm about ready to say about Joker is the same thing I can say about Shea. I just don't like the foul baiting. Joker's guilty of that sometimes, but Shea's made a career of it. But take away the foul baiting, and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is still a phenomenal player. He's still putting up those numbers. He's just doing it in a different way. I wish he'd change that, but it's the game.
I wish they would play baby sound effects every time one of those NBA players does that.
You know what pissed me off last night? Go look this up. Lou Dort hitting Joker in the face. Look that up. See if you can find it. Joker's setting a screen. Lou goes to get around. Dort goes to get around the screen. And as he's going, he takes his left arm and unnaturally like contorts it behind his body so he can smack Joker in the face. The OKC broadcast, because Joker, of course, takes the smack and knocks him to the ground, you know, as those tend to do, seven-footers. It'll slap to the face, can knock you off your feet. There were two things on this. The commentators and the fans were booing, you know, negative chants. I don't remember what it was, but they were booing. The OKC commentator was like, he didn't even get hit. He didn't even touch him. And then they watch the replay up close and there's nothing. They don't even say anything. At least acknowledge it. I'll give that to Marlowe and Hastings, man. If they have something wrong and they see something on the replay, they will recover and say, oh, yeah, he got him. Yeah, yeah, he got him there. So, yeah, another stupid call there. But here's what pisses me off. They called a flagrant. All right, I'm fine with the flagrant if you saw it in real time. The official is staring at the ball. So Joker gets hit in the face. It sucked. And then he drops to the ground. The referee then turns his head because if you see a seven-footer fall to the ground, it tends to disturb your peripheral vision. So you look at that person on the ground and go, oh, he fell. He's grabbing his face. That must be a foul. I don't like that. That's just, we're just looking at a guy on the ground. If you missed it, you missed it. You can't get every call. There, if you're a referee and you're focused on the ball and you don't see the slap in the face because it would have been a weird angle, then you just miss it. You know, it would have sucked for the Nuggets. Might not have been as close of a game had that situation not occurred. But that's a problem with the NBA. They are taught, you know, if you see a guy unnaturally fall to the ground, it's probably a foul. Go ahead and give the player that's on the ground the benefit of the doubt. I have a problem with that.
So can the NBA fine someone after the game, or is the NBA cowardly?
They can. Who do you want them to fine?
I mean, it did kind of look like he whapped him in the face.
Well, yeah, he got a flagrant one. They called it, but they didn't see it. You know what I mean? Like, that's a problem to me. I don't like that.
Well, if you don't see it and you see a guy fall down, you have to actually see it.
Yeah, you have to see it. I have an issue with that. And
yeah,
Joker got smacked, and it was unnatural. I definitely agree that it was a flagrant. Marlowe and Hastings on the call last night didn't necessarily think it should have been upgraded to a flagrant. It was an unnatural move. And Dort apologized again and said, oh, man, I get to swing in my arms all over the place when I go through screens.
Let's see some examples of that.
That was an unnatural move. I can't even do that. Like, I'm trying to do it and here in the studio, I can't do that, man.
I did that as an example just now, and my arm is killing me.
Right. You're going out of your way to try to smack somebody in the face.
I'm going to go get me some ice, please.
So where are we at with this team? I'm going to say this, and it sounds like a cop-out. I need to see more. I need to see more from the starting group together. Aaron Gordon played 28 minutes. He had 23 points. He's starting to look like Aaron Gordon again. 6 of 14, 2 of 4 from the three-point line. I need a week. Give me a week before I'm really going to evaluate. Now, again, we may not have the luxury of that time. So if you're asking me, do I think the Nuggets are a real contender, I'm saying give me a week because I need to see this starting five together with the bench truly designed the way it's supposed to be. But we may be a week later and the Nuggets have three more losses to show for it and maybe sitting in the play-in spot, and that just is what it is. There's plenty of teams in our history, Michael, where we've looked back and said, man, if those guys could have just stayed healthy, if we never really got to see what that player was like with that player, it was supposed to be that way, but we never really got to see it. That's happened. I mean, we've seen that with the Nuggets. We've seen it with the Avs. We've seen it with the Broncos. We've seen Rockies fans, if Chris Bryant would have just been healthy, this team would probably be a regular playoff team. No. Okay.
Don't say that.
Sorry. Eastside Chris, Susan and Cheryl would definitely not visit the den with Michael. They would not visit the den with you, I don't think.
Den of thieves?
No, the den. Do you not know the den? Hooligans are obsessed with the den. It used to be the Clown's Den in Wyoming. It's a bar where other things happen inside that bar. Don't eat the buffet there. Nothing? Not doing anything?
Not doing anything for me. What, did you talk about this more than 2 weeks ago? Because
yeah, oh, yeah.
I would have forgotten.
No, this is a Hooligan thing. They're obsessed with the den. It's a place where maybe there are dancers. Late night.
Oh, are we talking
bachelor
about
party?
Prostitution?
No, golly. See, I'm trying to give you like a subtle hint. A strip club, Mike. I'm trying to give you a subtle hint. Strip club.
Where things go on in the back room.
No, I don't know anything about that. No, stop. Why? See, this is why. I try to keep things subtle because I know you'll be weird about it, and look what happened.
I'm just saying Is it's a that Hooligan what you thing. Are saying? I want to confirm.
It's no. I'm saying that it's a bar where there are people that dance there, and clothes sometimes are optional on the stage. That's all I'm saying. Not promoting the place, but the Hooligans always bring up the Den. Randomly, in the middle of a conversation, they will bring up the Den. It hasn't been so for a while. I think they're trying to be a little PG-13 for the Lego guy back there.
So the Hooligans are a big fan of strip clubs.
I don't know the answer to that. I could not answer that question. I just know that that place has had more free advertising on this show than any place in the history of the whole show. So, and I'm not endorsing it, but the Hooligans tend to bring it up. All I'm saying is that's the Hooligans for you.
I think we need to be sponsored by them.
Give them a call. Give them a call. 21 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Here, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a different cat. He, you know, he reminds me of like a Matrix character. Here's the clip, Mike. Shai was asked about, you know, did he know he was going to come down with 8 seconds left and hit that game-winning shot? And how can you not love sports and at least appreciate this answer? Here's Shai.
You know you're going to take a setback three or when you're out? When you're
yeah,
out.
And I had no clue what I was going to do. I have answers to the test, but, like, I got to see the questions first. So once I seen he was on my left and I was going right, I think it was Christian Braun that was in the gap. So I knew I probably was like, if I drove to shoot a midi, it was probably going to be a contested with two guys. So I tried to separate from the three and get a good, comfortable shot, and it went down.
I have answers to the test. I just got to see the questions first. Dude, that's a hard line right there. That's a pretty awesome line right there. Couldn't you picture Keanu Reeves in the Matrix saying that? I have answers to the test. I just don't know the questions yet. That's not a very good one. We'll work on it.
No, that's more of a Morpheus thing.
Is it a Morpheus thing?
Yeah, it's more of a, because Morpheus would be explaining to him,
you
there
have
are answers to the test, but
to
you
the
have
test,
to see the questions.
But you have to see the questions. Or Yoda. It could be a Yoda thing.
Questions you have to see. Answers.
Why do I invite this in? Aaron says, what happens in the back room of the Den doesn't need to be made public, is what Aaron's saying. See, again, I...
Are you the owner, stockholder?
No, I don't. I know that there's been a weird obsession over the Den in years past. With amongst Hooligans and Hall of Famers alike.
Is that particular Hooligan a participant?
We don't know. They just
clothing optional
they
person?
Just mention it. A random Hooligan will mention the Den, I don't know, on a good month. I'm probably getting 5 to 10 mentions of the Den. Sometimes we don't read through the text, but there's always a mention in there. It's just I don't know. I don't know, man. It's just part of the show, I guess. It's become part of it. Maybe it has something to do with Susan and Cheryl. I don't know for sure. I don't know what they do in their spare time. They're here most of the time.
They work at Denny's.
Ah. Very, very good, Mike. Are the Nuggets a contender? I was on with Brian and Tanner this morning. Good morning, Yoko. You're saying yes because you know I'm uneasy right now.
I'm just trying to help you out.
I'm trying to teach you how to be a better fan.
It's a lonely day, Brady, and I want you to be happy.
I'm trying to take you on a walk with me, and we're skipping some rocks, and it's okay to be sad and ponder whether, you know, your team really has what it takes to hoist that trophy.
It's not okay to be sad, damn it.
It's okay.
Bury those emotions.
To acknowledge it instead of just saying, they're going to win every game. I can feel it.
Bury the emotions and let it turn into anger.
I didn't predict the Nuggets to beat the Thunder. I did predict the Nuggets to beat the Knicks on Friday. How'd that go? Worst loss in the Joker starting era? I can't predict this team this year. They're very difficult. I used to do my player props. I'm not even necessarily betting on them. I'm just giving you advice because I had a real feel for who I thought was going to go off, depending on the matchups and all that. But it's tough. It's tough right now. Joker had 32 points, 14 rebounds, 13 assists. Those are monster numbers. And everyone's saying the MVP race is over. Shea's the guy. He had 35 points last night, 9 boards and 15 assists. Like those are, and again, you look at when the shots came. Joker had a quick little hook inside. Shea goes down, hits three. Joker comes back down, hits three. Jamal Murray gets fouled off ball. So they call the foul after the three. So Jamal gets to shoot a free throw because they were in the bonus, I believe. And then you tie the game up. Shea goes down, hits a dagger. So, I mean, both players were hitting. Joker had those two shots late and he hit both of them. Shea had his two shots late and he hit both of them. And just, you had a lot of missed shots in this game. You had a lot of free throws that were missed in this game. And that was tough. Defensively, they've got to be better. They have to be better. The Nuggets lost to the Thunder by three. They missed eight free throws. They missed three free throws in the fourth. It's the eighth game they've lost, missing more free throws than points they had lost by. Does that make sense? They missed more free throws than points they lost by. If you hit your easy shots, you probably win a lot of games. That's their eighth game. That's a big difference. You're talking, suddenly you're not at 39 wins, you're at 47 wins. That's significant.
Maybe practice those more in practice.
If you win half of those games, they're third in the West. So it's a problem. That's a problem. But defensively, it's not offensively. They scored 126 points last night. They have the number one offense this season, number one half-court offense. They have the number one offense among all teams. And this courtesy of our friend Hardwood Paroxium. They have the number one offense among all teams when teams win, and the number one offense among all teams when teams lose. It's definitely not the offense. It's defense. They just can't make those key stops. Scott Hastings said on the call when the Nuggets were up down by one, hey, you get a stop here, you go down, you can go down and win this thing. Were they up by one? Yeah, maybe it was tied, but then Shea goes and hits that three. And Jalen Williams went off last night. You had a lot of guys out for the Thunder. So a lot of people are saying, man, we had three starters out. Jalen Williams had 29 points in the center role with Hartenstein out. And he's a good player, man. He's a really good player. It's a good team. They're just deep. You know, three guys go down, they got three. That's why they won the championship last year. Five starters are great. So is their next five. Shea's great, but they have a lot of guys that are capable of hitting threes. Isaiah Joe, Dort can hit threes. Kayson Wallace can hit threes. He had a game against the Nuggets in the playoffs last year where he absolutely throttled him, and he was on fire. Jalen Williams can hit threes. Guys that were out last night can hit threes. There's a lot of dudes that are dangerous. And Denver lost by three. Do I still think they're a contender? Talk to me in a week, Mike. What is today? Tuesday?
Talk to you on St. Patrick's Day.
Is that next Tuesday?
That is the 17th.
Talk to me on St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
And I will tell you whether or not I really feel the Nuggets can win a championship. I need a week. With this starting five, I need a week. Give me the week. 28 minutes after the hour. UNC lost to Montana. What's next? What's next for the Bears? Can they get back to, second round of the Big Sky Conference tournament? It's tough. Can they be this 20-plus win team next season? How important was this year to try to go make some noise, especially in this world of college athletics? It gets difficult. The UNC Bears lose to Montana last night. Let's unpack it coming up next.
Slow down the Colorado Avalanche? Find out with us on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Foundation Sports Nutrition is a fairly new, locally owned nutrition supplement business right here in Greeley, Colorado. They got a new challenge coming up, too. It's going to be a fitness challenge. I'm going to get you more details on this, but that's starting up on April 27th. If you want to get in on this, they're going to create meal plans for you. They're going to have just different ways to go about your nutrition. And guys, it's not like it's not 7D chess like Michael's always talking about. These are simple ways to just kickstart your health journey. Maybe it's just something where you need to just watch a little closer what you're eating. Maybe there's certain vitamins you could be taking to really help your process. You want to feel great. You want to be ready to do all the things you want to do and not feel terrible waking up and going up and down the stairs, all those things. Whatever that looks like, maybe you're a marathon runner and you want to really kick this thing up into the high gear. That's what I love about Foundation Sports Nutrition. They're working with people in all walks of life, and they got this challenge coming up. There's going to be cash prizes involved. Again, I don't have all the details just yet, but Foundation Sports Nutrition right here in Greeley on 10th Street and 59th Avenue across from the Wells Fargo. There's a Sonic right across from there, north of there. Tell them we sent you here from Foundation Sports Nutrition, 35 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Bummer of a night in the Big Sky Conference as the Bears lose to Montana 95-89. Mike, it was 49-32 at the half. The Bears were down 17. I mean, most of us probably thought it was cooked at that point, right?
Yeah, it was so bad my streaming kept cutting out, and I'm like,
oh, it did. You didn't get to hear Joe Cravens on the call.
I missed a lot of the first half. I went to a different place for the second half, but the first half was brutal.
Yeah, it was rough. Montana could not miss there for a while. I mean, Money Williams, he was money. 40 points for him. Just he was a nightmare. And the Bears just defensively, what did I tell you in the Montana game, you know, in the last time they played, the Raiders, the last game, it was defense. Because in the game before, you know, Bears struggled in that one. They lost to Montana first this year, 88-79. And then when they beat them just a week ago, it was 85-57. I wasn't expecting them to hold Montana to 57. Michael, I will admit that blowout, winning by pretty much 30 points, in the back of my mind, I wondered if that was going to be a bad thing for UNC to draw them in their first matchup, and essentially their first round game. Not necessarily because UNC couldn't handle it, but that you were going to have a pissed off Montana with a crowd that kind of travels there. So I was worried about that. A crowd that travels from Bozeman to Boise, right? So
not too far. Not too far of a travel.
No, and that was a concern, certainly.
I was a little concerned about that. That's why I thought it would be a much closer game. I didn't see UNC.
Missoula,
I think UNC
Missoula
hurt themselves more than Montana hurt UNC. I mean, the first half was just atrocious shooting-wise. Yeah, Money was on the ball, and he was beating everybody. But shooting in the first half for UNC was bad.
It was bad. It was bad. Second half, though, there was still a part of me, and I hung in. I left at halftime, watched the Nuggets game for a bit, and then came back over, and the Bears had cut it to 10 by that time. And then it was one of those games where you just kept in touch. If you could stay around that 10 mark, you could set yourself up for the last 4 or 5 minutes to try to make that final push, and they did. They did make that final push. They cut this thing to 2 points late in the game. They had the trap. They got a turnover once on the trap. I think Brock Wisney missed an open three. That would have been a game changer. Montana handled the trap really well and got a couple of wide open looks late. Tanner, we were going over that in the text line last night, back and forth of shouldn't they have fouled with 9 seconds to go when they had the guy trapped in the corner. You're kind of at that point hoping he's going to make that pass in a moment, and you can't let that ball go up over the top of the defenders and it happened. It's tough to do. Orchestrating a perfect trap in a press situation is a difficult task, and the Bears really needed to be perfect on it in order to complete that comeback.
Did you see that foul that I called a six-car pileup? But everybody was going for the ball, and I'm surprised Wisney didn't have a concussion.
There should have been a foul call on that. You can go for the ball, but when you start wrestling and contorting somebody's body, Smiley was pissed about that. And that
it was that last guy. That last guy just jumped on the pile. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how are you doing that?
Yeah, that was a bummer. That all of it sucked. Late, they called a foul on Yamazaki at the top of the key against Money Williams, and Yamazaki's arm goes out as he's coming across the top of the key, and Money just like grabs Yamazaki's arm and pulls it up into him, like he's almost cradling it. And they called a foul, and I get that. And Joe Cravens even mentioned it on the call. He's like, "Yeah, if you stick that arm out and they run a lot, unfortunately, you're gonna probably get that call a lot of times, even if the offensive player just runs into the arm."
And they called one on Montana that was, they ended up holding that up. But I honestly, trying to be as fair as possible, it looked like it could be either way.
Yeah, it wasn't one of those games where I felt like it came down to, I mean, I guess it was a close game. The Bears battle back, Mike. Didn't this not remind you of the championship game from a year ago, though? Montana's blowing them out. UNC keeps cutting it close, and then they fall back, and then they cut it close again. And just tight games like that, it comes down to a couple things. Missed foul call here, the wrong foul call there, a couple of missed free throws. It's a bummer. And you know what sucks? Like, they'll probably go to an NIT thing, and that's cool. Good for them. They should. I'm going to bow out. You know, I'm not normally into that stuff, but I'm rooting for them. If I'm sitting around the house and there's nothing on and they're playing right now, yeah, I might do it, but
if it's free,
it's not appointment television.
It's not
going to
be on ESPN Plus.
I don't think so.
It'll probably be on like some third tier website that you have to pay $10 for, and I'm not going to pay $10.
No, probably not. What sucks then, if you're done watching, it's the last time you're going to see Brock Wisney in a Bears uniform. It's the last time you're going to see Quinn Danker in a Bears uniform. Zach Block in a Bears uniform. Those are three dudes right there that are going to go down as some of the most excellent Bears to do it. And Quinn did it in just 2 years.
I put them in the pressure cooker. I put the seniors in the pressure cooker.
I mean,
they got cooked.
They got cooked, kind of, but Quinn Danker had a hell of a game. And also, Ibu Yamazaki is not going to be back, I don't think. I think he'll have a year of eligibility, but I think he's going to go pro in Japan, Mike. So he'll go make some real money right now. So that's
make some yen.
That's four dudes that are not coming back. And so you look at like who on this roster is going to, well, Ring Neary. You're probably going to hope you can keep him. He had some good moments in that game last night. Is he a sophomore? He's a sophomore. So he's still got some growing to do, and I thought he grew up a little bit in that game last night. So if they can keep him, they build around him. Egan Shields taking over for Brock's spot. Vincent Delano taking over Quinn's spot. Yeah, it's going to be a brand new basketball team next year. So Steve Smiley's crew, they're good in the regular season, Mike. They just can't get over that hump. Can't do it. Faith texting in, there were a lot of unfortunate events in that game, but out of the gate, they didn't come out with the fire they have been. And also, texter says NIT is on ESPN Plus.
Oh, well, I was wrong about that, and I will be happy to watch the Bears if
really?
They do go to the NIT.
Are you saying that, or you really think you're going to sit down and watch the NIT?
I will only watch UNC.
Are you going to watch the rest of this Big Sky tournament?
No. No,
I think Montana's going to, I said I think the winner of that game is going to go dancing. I did predict the Bears, but I said whoever the winner is of this one's going to go. Because I think it's Montana and Portland State now, and then they'll either have Eastern Washington or your favorite team in the Big Sky.
UNC?
No, the other one.
UNC?
Idaho. Set you up
Idaho.
For it. No, you can't do it. I set you up for it, and you screwed it up. So, no.
The Idaho Martha Reeves and the Vandals?
Yeah. First Advantage text line 88. I don't even know what you said. 888-530-0043.
Arthur Reeves and the Vandellas.
How are we feeling about the Broncos? Pretty quiet yesterday. I'm going to see if we have any new updates. J.K. Dobbins signed a 2-year deal, Mike. I think it's like 10 mil. And then the second year, I think, is maybe an option, maybe a player option. But I'm good with it. I think my biggest issue is the tight end room. I think that's my biggest issue. And we'll talk about it coming up. 44 minutes after the hour. Mike, let's jump out real quick, man. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 AFKA.
I want to tell you guys about our great friends at Boys and Girls Clubs of Weld County. They got a fun night coming up of celebration and impact at the 44th annual Elegant Night Gala. Enjoy a wonderful evening honoring this year's champion of youth, Lori and Ellie Duran, here from the 2026 Youth of the Year. And all the while, he'll be supporting local programs that empower local kids to thrive. Sponsorships, tables, and individual tickets are now available. Gotta love the work that Boys and Girls Club of Weld County do here in this community of ours. Visit bgcweld.org/elegant night. And remember, all funds go directly to supporting the Boys and Girls Clubs of Weld County. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Coming up in the second hour of the program, we got top stories of the day. And we'll talk CSU on the men's side of things. They play Fresno State tomorrow night in their first round of the Mountain West Conference tournament. And, man, we really would like to see the Rams carry. The Buffs, I think, play Oklahoma State tonight. Is that right? In the Big 12 tournament. So the Buffs obviously going to need to be one of those teams that has to win their tournament. I think they're pretty significant favorites tonight, so they should be able to win at least this one. So we'll be paying attention to that as well. Keep it here on The Whole Show. Benjamin Albright from Broncos Country tonight going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. If you have Broncos questions, this would be the time to ask them, because I certainly know I'm going to. Stick with us here on The Whole Show. We'll be right back.
The madness with us at Big City Roadhouse on March 19th. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
Yeah, we're going, Mike. Mike knows I'm a little down in the dumps.
Ooh,
and there's only one way to get me out of the dumps, Michael, and that is to let us rock out a little bit here on The Whole Show. So great work by you. Good.
Ooh, yeah.
You don't like that song? You don't like Metallica?
I like Metallica. That's just two of their three worst albums.
You don't like that song right there?
It's all right.
Oh, that's a great song. That's now, a great
you need-
song.
Master of Puppets,
well, yeah.
Ride the Lightning, and For Justice for All are the three best albums.
And yeah, then the I'm Black not album a big, kind of I'm not a great album catalog guy, so I can't remember all the songs on every great album. I can't connect them sometimes, but
once James Hetfield started singing to save his voice, that's when they started going downhill. And it's not just that. It's like musically they weren't as good.
Yeah. Well, I still think they're pretty damn good. Metallica and The Whole Show. It's like an energy drink, says Rick the Everyman. Yeah, Michael. Let's get rocking here. We got top stories of the day coming up. Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country tonight, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Again, bring those Broncos questions if you have any, because the Broncos didn't have a lot of questions for free agents yesterday. Top stories of the day coming up next.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.